Blog Talk Radio.
That light has come, the glory of Yah has risen up on his sons and his daughters. The darkness is uncovered, pull sheets up of our lovers, we're perverted till we burn. So now it's time to return back to Yah, our city, your refuge, the fountains of living waters. This showers me with righteousness, restores my order, and turns this song to a king, a song for my soul to sing, that brought me down very low, my garments white like the wings. Shaddaiah, pray this be the Most High, that brought me out of his sanity, crushed the towers of vanity, and made a man of me. I'm now asking for a key, no longer my refugee, I'm now Yah's planet.
We don't rise to the city of God, we don't rise to the city of God, we don't dance, we don't sleep, we don't run to the city, run to the city, we don't fly to the city of God, we don't march to the city of God.
A thousand meters rough, measure waters came to your ankle. The method did repeat, waters came right to your knee. Before you further Joe goings, waters came to your loins. A thousand measures and the last, a river you could not pass. Everything that touched the waters was healed. Plenty of your fish left to swim. There was meat from the trees, nourished the bodies from leaves. The vision I seen was more than a dream. Waters flow on sides of sanctuary. My heart had joy and merit. I'm renovating my soul until we make it home. Foolish sin forever gone. Your spirit resting on my bones. Brothers and sisters, you with me. Let's purge ourselves really quickly. Make our souls polished this 50 so we home.
Shalom, 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 shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is there and is. Blessing hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, bringing to you his great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for y'all ordained me to tell you the truth. And this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our King, he's our Judge, he's our Lawgiver, and Yah is our only Savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the Savior of the world. And I praise Almighty Yah for allowing us to come before you once again to bring to you his great words. Tonight or this evening, today, we will be dealing with a subject matter that we had started several weeks ago on how to study the books of Yahweh, how to study his word. And we're going to get into the book of Leviticus. But I just want to refresh your memory and a refresher on the other books that we brought to you, so you can keep everything together. But before I do that, I want us to first read why this is so important. And you'll read this in the book of Isaiah, the 34th chapter, the 16th verse. Let us get there so you can understand why this is so important. And why you won't see anyone else bring to you how to seek the Creator out of his words. In the book of Isaiah 34, the 34th chapter, the 16th verse, it says,
"Seek ye out of the book of Yahweh and read."
Yeah, seek ye out of the book of Yahweh and read. And little do people know that you don't read the word of Yahweh like any other book. That's not how you read Yahweh's book. And oftentimes, this is how people try to read the word of Yah. But it's not how you read or study his word. But nevertheless, we're going to teach you. Seek ye out of the book of Yahweh and read.
No one of these shall fail.
No one of these books shall fail you.
None shall war her mate.
And none have a match or a mate or have a comparable kind to it.
For my mouth it hath commanded.
And this is the thing that we must come to understand. It is Yahweh's mouth that commanded this thing. Look here, somebody brought to me the fact that somebody brought, in an apocrypha, such and such says this. Well, the first thing I want to know in the book of Apocrypha, or any book for that matter, does it say, "Thus says Yahweh"? Now, if it says, "Thus says Yahweh," then I'm all ears. But if it's not saying, "Thus says Yahweh," what book is this thing that you bring into me and to our people? But watch what it says again. For the mouth that Yahweh has what?
Commanded. And the spirit, it has gathered them.
Yeah, gather what? These various books that's before us. Where we can show you thus Yahweh. All through the various books of Yahweh. And we can show you where the various prophets that came to bring Yahweh's word, how they were, how they spoke Yahweh's word. And this is what we're going to do today. Since Yahweh says, seek ye out of the book of Yahweh and read, we're teaching you how to read the word of Yahweh. In the book of Genesis, which comes from the Hebrew word Bereshit, which just means beginning, we're brought to your attention that in the book of Genesis, it's 50 chapters in Genesis. And you can understand all 50 chapters and beyond if you know how to study it, if you know how to read it. As the Creator desire you to do. So, for example, in the book of Genesis, the 5th chapter, watch what this says. Or before we even read Genesis 5, go to Genesis 2 first. Genesis 2. Let's start reading at the first verse.
It reads, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, Elohim ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which Elohim created and made.
Mm-hmm.
These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth which they were created in the day that Yahweh made the earth and the heavens.
Yeah, these are the generations of the heaven and the earth when they were created. So you can't even understand, acknowledge, and then begin to understand anything without understanding these generations. And these are two essential generations you have to study independent of one another. That's the generations of the heaven as well as the generation of the earth. Because once you begin to do that, then you're going to understand their relationship with one another. The third thing that you're going to learn in the book of Genesis, which just means beginning. And how can you know any story without first knowing the beginning of the story? In the book of Genesis, the 5th chapter, watch what it says in the very first verse.
This is the book of the generations of Adam.
See, this is the book of the generation of Adam.
In the day Elohim created man, in the likeness of Elohim made he him.
How you going to study man and not study Adam? This is the book of the generations of Adam. Second verse.
Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created.
In the day that they were created. So these three essential things you must learn how to read it and study it and seek Yah from it. The book of the generations of the heavens, the generations of the earth, and the book of the generation of Adam. But Yahweh didn't stop there, because he wanted you to know in the beginning about something else essential in his book. And you'll read this in the book of Genesis, the 10th chapter. The first verse.
Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood.
Yeah, how you going to know about what took place after the flood? What took place after Yahweh had destroyed everything? Except you study and learn and know the generations of the sons of Noah. So you got to study Noah because it's his sons. But in studying Noah, you will find that he has sons, and you needed to know generations, their genealogy, their beginning, their origin. His son's name was Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And right here, we just showed you six essential things you got to know. The generations of the heaven, the generations of the earth, the generations of the book of Adam, and the generation of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And there's one more thing that Yahweh wanted you to know that is essential to understand his word and how to study the books of Yah. Since Yahweh told you to seek ye out of the book of Yahweh and read, and you read this in the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter, starting at the very first verse.
Now Yahweh has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country.
Get out of your country.
And from thy kindred.
And from your kinfolk.
And from thy father's house.
And from your father's house where you began.
Unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee. And make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee. And curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed.
In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And the only way that that can happen, the only way you can learn about this thing that comes from Abraham is that you learn the blessings and the curses. That you learn the covenant of Yahweh. Because this Yahweh will use, this is the instrument that he had to learn the covenant seed, which is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And once you begin to learn this covenant seed, then you will get right into the laws, the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, the covenants, the testimonies of Yahweh through Abram and his covenant seed. This is how you study Genesis. Seven different things that will kickstart you into studying the word of Yahweh. But then Yahweh hit book number two, which is called Exodus. And here it is in the book of Exodus. Whereas Genesis had 50 chapters. And you, all the chapters are broken down where you can ascertain great understanding from them. Because you're going to cover these genealogies, these origins. Well, Exodus is no different at all. Whereas Genesis is talking about the beginning. The very first thing in Genesis says, this is the beginning of the heaven and the earth in the day that they were created. Well, in the book of Exodus, the very first thing it says in the book of Exodus, the very first verse, which is, this is the second book of the scriptures where Yahweh said, seek ye out of the book of Yahweh and read. Watch what it says in the very first verse.
Now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came to Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob.
Yeah, these are the names of the children of Israel. What do you think the word Exodus means? Well, the word Exodus comes from the Hebrew word Shemot, which means these are the names. Because this is all about names. And more importantly, not just the covenant seed names, which is the 12 tribes of Israel. That's why it's important to study the beginning of the covenant child, which is Abraham. But these are the names, because these names that you're going to read about, this story that you will read about, it looked like it's about their names. No, not at all. Because when you read about their names, you're going to learn the greatest name in the greatest story ever told. And that is the name of Yahweh. Where Yahweh introduced his name to a peculiar people called the children of Israel. This where it took place. In Exodus. Shemot. Or these are the names. The title in itself describes what the book is all about. And all through the book, the very first four chapters of the book is Moshe going to the children of Israel, signs and wonders, because Yahweh would send him into Egypt. And Moses said, look, what if they ask me your name? What would I tell them? And the Almighty told him, get this staff and do these signs and wonders. Because it was about the great name of Yahweh. And he was going to his people. Then, who would he send? He didn't just send Moses. He sent Moses and Aaron. And what did he send them to do? He sent Moses and Aaron after the fourth chapter, the fifth chapter through the 14th chapter, and I may add, it's 40 chapters in the book of Exodus. But the fifth chapter on through the 14th chapter, he was seeing Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh to speak in his name and to tell Pharaoh, thus says Yahweh, let my people go that they may hold a sacrifice unto me. Of course, Yahweh hardened his heart, so that they can leave through signs and wonders. But after they left, then what would they do? From chapters 15 on through 18, all the way to the 19th chapter, well, they would journey. Journey all the way to meet this Yahweh on Mount Sinai, led by Moshe. to the mountain of Elohim, where Yahweh told him in the beginning, this is how you're going to know that I sent you. You're going to bring these people out of Egypt to this mountain where I will speak to them. This is all about the name of Yahweh. And what will happen at that mountain? Have there ever been the people that heard the voice of Elohim speaking out of heaven and brought a people from a nation out of a nation through signs and wonders and terrors? But that's what Yahweh did. And he spoke his word at that mountain. And his word is above his name. This is how you study Yahweh's book. And they were on this mountain from the 90th chapter through the 25th chapter, where then Yahweh told the people, look, bring me an offering. And they had many offerings. Where did they get them from? From Egypt, where they bought all kind of jewels and all kind of linen and clothes and precious things from Egypt. And all these precious things, they were instructed to build a tabernacle. They were instructed to build the Ark of the Covenant. They were instructed to build clothes, or make clothes where the priests can minister in the name of Yahweh. In the tabernacle that represented Yahweh's name. And all the various holy things that they had to make. Priestly clothes. The dedication of Aaron and his sons. The tabernacle. The table for the showbread, the Ark of the Covenant, all these things that represent the name of our Creator. No wonder this is called names. I thought Exodus was all about coming out of Egypt. No, Exodus was about our relationship and the significance of how powerful and great the name of the Most High is and what he would do in his name. Even in the book of Genesis, it says there was, during a certain generation, they began to call upon the name of Yahweh. Now we can see the power in his great name. So I wanted you to know that and see that. But now we're at the book of Leviticus. How do you study Leviticus? First of all, you got to know what Leviticus means. What is it is derived from? Well, the book of Leviticus, the word Leviticus, is derived from the Hebrew word Vayikra, which means he called out to. And that will make sense to the mass majority of the people who listen to us, because they would understand that Leviticus is the third book of the Holy Scriptures. And they know the third represents something holy, something set apart, something sanctified. And what do you think was called out to the people? Watch what it says in the book of Leviticus, the very first chapter, the very first verse.
Leviticus 1:1 reads, and Yahweh called unto Moses.
He called unto Moses. That's what Leviticus means.
And spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying.
And the reason why he called out to Moses, because Yahweh is about to set someone apart. And who he will set apart is the tribe of Levi. So not only are we learning about the in the third book of the Holy Scriptures, we're about to really go into the third tribe who represent this third book. And I may add, we're in the third year. And so it makes total sense that Yahweh will call out to them for this thing. Who do you think bring about the holy callings that we have? If it's not the priest. All through the book of Leviticus, let me tell you what you're going to learn. Let me tell you what you're going to see, even before we read it. What you're going to see is the abundance of the laws and the statutes of Yahweh. No other book contains the laws and the statutes like the book of Leviticus. Here it is, people tell you, well, there's 613 laws. Or 630, they don't know a law from a statute, from a commandment, from a judgment, from a testimony, from a covenant. They don't know, but you're going to know because we're going to teach you and we're going to show you. And the very first thing Yahweh began to do in the book of Leviticus is to go over the various offerings that who's supposed to make? The priest. The burnt offering, the sin offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the trespass offering. All these various things, Yahweh will call out to Moses to teach the tribe of Levi. And who would you think, and the tribe of Levi would teach you? The children of Israel. But first, Levi had to learn it. And let me show you what they was learning. In the book of Leviticus, the sixth chapter, let me tell you the first thing they began to learn. So you'll know how to study the book. We did the hard work to break it down so you can learn it in an orderly fashion. In the book of Leviticus, the sixth chapter, and I want you to start reading at the eighth verse.
He reads, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying,
and you're not going to read that in the Apocrypha. You're not going to read that in the book of, so-called book of Jasher. You're not going to read this in the book of Jubilees or the book of Enoch or any other book other than the Holy Scriptures. And you're definitely not going to read it in the New Testament. So why would anybody go to these books and say, let me show you, thus says Yahweh, unless they're trying to deceive you? And let me show you the very first law that Yahweh would teach us about in the book of Leviticus. And what do it represent? The third tribe, Levi. And what is he doing? He's calling out the various offerings of Yahweh. And watch what it says in the ninth verse.
Command Aaron and his sons.
Command Aaron and his sons. This is for them. This is for Levi.
Saying, this is the law of the burnt offering.
This is the law of burnt offering, which is the very first law they call out to them. Go ahead.
It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night to the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it.
And the fire shall be burning in it. So if you want to learn about the burnt offering, this is the law of the burnt offering. In the very first chapter of Leviticus, that's the verse, the very first offering to speak about is the burnt offering. And this is the law. And I don't have to go over the law. I want you to go over the law of the burnt offering. Now that you know how to order your laws now. Because soon as you get in Leviticus, the very first thing it's going to deal with is laws. Not so with Exodus. Not so with Genesis. But with Leviticus, because now you have the people, the tribe, those who will minister the law. Now they're here, and now they can teach you and show you. Watch the 14th verse, which is the very next law it will teach you about.
And this is the law of the meat offering.
Now, this is the law of the meal offering. It doesn't say meat. In English, like it's some type of meat. And we know how people love meat. But you'll be disappointed in reading this law because this law is about flour. It ain't about meat at all. It's about flour. But this is the law of the meal offering. Go ahead.
The sons of Aaron shall offer it before Yahweh, before the altar.
Before the offering. And it's going before the altar. And it's going to teach you about that law. And I may add, you'll read about this in Leviticus, the second chapter. But what's the third law? Go to the 25th verse.
Speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, this is the law of the sin offering.
This is the law of sin offering. Go ahead.
In the place where the burnt offering is killed, shall the sin offering be killed before Yahweh. It is most holy.
It is most holy. Did we say we're dealing with the third book, the third tribe? And what they represent? Some holy, some sanctified, some set apart, some dedicated. Because that's what this whole book is about. These are the things that was called out. These are the various laws. Watch what it says in the book of Leviticus, the seventh chapter, the very first verse. This is the fourth law.
Likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering.
This is the law of the trespass offering.
It is most holy. In the place where they kill the burnt offering, shall they kill the trespass offering, and the blood thereof shall be sprinkled round about upon the altar.
Yeah, this is the law of the trespass offering. And all the way from chapter 1, all the way through chapter 8, you're going to read about these offerings. But I'm just getting to the bottom line. This is what you're reading about. First, burnt offering. Second, the meal offering. Third, the sin offering. And fourth, the trespass offering. These are laws. And we got to know the difference between a law, a statute, a commandment, and a judgment. Now you're reading laws. What did it say in 11 verse?
And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which you shall offer unto Yahweh.
Yeah, this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings. Because when you get in the book of Leviticus, that's what you're going to read about. The various laws of Yahweh, as well as his statutes. And you're going to see the difference between a law and the statue as we continue to read and learn how to study the word of Yahweh, how to seek Yahweh out of his book. The fifth offering is the sacrifice of peace offering. Well, what's the sixth offering? Look at the 37th chapter of the same, I'm sorry, the 37th verse of the same chapter. And let's count them again. We had the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering. And now watch this. This is the sixth offering in 37 verse.
This is the law of the burnt offering, of the meat offering, and of the sin offering, and of the trespass offering, and of the consecrations, and of the sacrifice of the peace offering.
Yeah, now it's telling you about all of them. This is the burnt offering. This is the meat offering. This is the sin offering. This is the trespass offering. This is the consecrations of the sacrifice of peace offerings. Five different offerings. And you may ask yourself, well, what is the, I thought it was seven different offerings. Well, it was, and it is. But little do people know, the last offering that Yahweh would do is in the book of Leviticus, the 8th chapter. And watch what it says in the very first verse.
And Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and a bullock for the sin offering, and two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread.
Mm-hmm.
And gather thou all the congregation together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses did as Yah commanded him, and the assembly was gathered together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses said unto the congregation, this is the thing which Yahweh commanded to be done.
And little do people that Yahweh even made Aaron and his sons an offering. An offering to the children of Israel. That they may even bring the offerings of Yahweh before him. They themselves had to be anointed, set apart, consecrated to Yahweh. Just like the burnt offering, just like the sin offering, just like the peace offering, just like all the other offerings, Aaron and his sons also had to be consecrated. How else do you think they were able to come near unto Yahweh and bring the offerings of Yahweh before him? And to bring any holy thing before him, because they were consecrated. How else could they anoint the tabernacle and the altar and all the other things unless they separated? That's why we read in the third book of the scriptures, which represents holy things of Yahweh. The word holy just means separated, consecrated to Yahweh. And you'll read this all the way through Leviticus, the 10th chapter. But then, it's one thing to bring all these holy offerings. It's another thing to have this holy priesthood, Levitical priesthood, come before you with these holy things. But Yahweh wanted his people to be holy. And where do you think you will learn that from? By the book of Leviticus. what in the world do you think Yahweh was calling out to the people? His holiness. Watch what it says in the book of Leviticus, the 11th chapter. We see the holy offerings. We see the holy priests. But how in the world do you think you and I will become holy? And watch what it says in Leviticus, the 11th chapter, the 43rd verse.
Leviticus 11, verse 43 reads, "You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creepy thing that creepeth, neither shall you make yourselves unclean with them, that you should be defiled thereby. For I am Yahweh your Elohim. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves."
Sanctify yourselves in what?
"And you shall be holy."
And you shall be holy. How, Yahweh?
"For I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creepy thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am Yahweh that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your Elohim. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy."
And since Yahweh is holy, and since he wants you to be holy, this is what you got to learn. Watch the first thing he say in the 46th verse.
"This is the law of the beast."
How you going to be holy and you don't even know the law of the beast?
"And of the fowl."
The law of the fowl, and you don't even know it. And you eating all kind of fowl.
"And of every living creature that moves in the waters."
You got to know the law of every living thing that moves in the water. How you not going to know that law and then be holy?
"And of every creature that creepeth upon the earth."
And every creature that creeps upon the earth. Why? Because Yahweh wants you to be holy because he's holy. And it says in the 47th verse,
"To make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten."
This is what Yahweh, after he will consecrate and bring the holy offerings, then he will bring to you the holy priests who can come near unto him. Now he's teaching you yourself how to become holy and why. Because he's holy. And what do you think the third represents? Holiness. What year do you think we're in? The third, which is holy. And why do you think you must learn how to seek Yahweh out of his book? And Yahweh didn't stop there because he wants you to be holy. So now that you know how to eat to be holy, watch what he says in the book of Leviticus, the 12th chapter. The 7th verse.
It reads, "Who shall offer it before Yahweh and make it atonement for her? And she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law for her that have borne a male or a female."
Yeah, this is the law. That's why when you get into Leviticus 12, now you're dealing with childbearing. And this is the law for her that has born a male child or a female child. This is that law. Because the book of Leviticus is about laws and statutes. And Yahweh wants you to know his law. Look at Leviticus 13. And watch what it says in the 59th verse. See, you got to go back and read it, as I have. And I studied these things. That's why I know the law. And here, I'm teaching you how to read and study his law. And watch what it says in Leviticus 13. Leviticus 13, in of itself, is 59 verses. But this is the bottom line. in the 59th verse.
This is the law of the plague of leprosy, in a garment of woolen or linen, either in the warp or woof, or anything of skins, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean.
Yeah, this is the law of the plague of leprosy in a garment. That's what Leviticus 13 deal with. But what about Leviticus, the 14th chapter? And watch what it says. And not only it deals with that in Leviticus 13, I may add, it deals also with the law of leprosy, period. But you'll see that. Watch in Leviticus 14. The second verse.
This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be bought unto the priest.
Yeah, this is the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. And he shall be brought to the priest. And it's going to tell you exactly what to do. Darren, do you understand the laws of Yahweh? What about the 32nd verse in the same chapter?
This is the law of him in whom is the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get that which pertains to his cleansing.
In other words, this is the law of the plague of leprosy. If you want to know about it, and you want to know the laws of Yahweh, now you got it. You know where to go. You know what to read. You know what to study. What about in the 54th chapter, 54th verse?
This is the law for all manner of plagues of leprosy and scald.
Yeah, in other words, if you want to know about leprosy, period, this is the law of all manner of plague of leprosy and scale, and for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, and for a rising and for a scab and for a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy, and you all can learn that law in two books: Leviticus 13 and Leviticus 14. Those are the only two books. Because this is the law. And I thought people want to know the law. Well, if you want to know the law, now you can know where to start to learn the law. What about in the book of Leviticus 15, and watch what it says there. And I want you to read the 32nd verse, because this is the whole book of Leviticus 15.
This is the law of him that have an issue, and of him whose seed goeth from him, and is defiled therewith.
Yeah, this is the law of him that has an issue, whose seed goes from him, and is defiled therewith. Continue reading.
And of her that is sick of her flowers, and of him that have an issue, of the man and of the woman, and of him that lieth with her that is unclean.
Yeah, you go to the book of Leviticus to find that out. Because this is the law that actually covers it. These are the laws. But you may ask yourself, that's good, these are the laws, but what about the very statutes of Yahweh? In the book of Leviticus, little do people know, in the book, look, we just got up to Leviticus 15 chapter, but we already cover half the book, because there's only 27 chapters in Leviticus. It is only two main things the whole book cover: laws and statutes. And let me show you some of the statutes of Yahweh. And let me show you the difference in how you're going to read and how you will read the very statutes of Yahweh and what a statute actually is. In the book of Leviticus, the third chapter, watch what it says. And you're going to see something that continually rings very loud when reading the statutes of Yahweh. You read the law, but watch the statutes. Leviticus, the third chapter, the 17th verse. Start at the 16th verse.
It reads, "And the priest shall burn them upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire, 4 sweets of oil. All the fat is Yahweh's."
All the fat is Yahweh's. And watch what it says.
"It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, that you eat neither fat nor blood."
Yeah, you eat neither fat nor blood. And this is a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings. In other words, a perpetual statute is something that's forever. No matter what time, what dispensation, no matter what, this statute is forever. You shall eat neither fat nor blood. Period. Forever. Watch what it says in Leviticus, the 6th chapter. The 18th verse.
"All the males amongst the children of Aaron shall eat of it."
And what is he talking about? He's talking about some of these offerings we just got finished talking about. The trespass offering is one of them. "The children of Aaron shall eat it." Go ahead.
"It shall be a statute forever in your generations concerning the offerings of Yahweh made by fire. Everyone that touches them shall be holy."
Everyone that touches them shall be holy. "But this statute shall be forever in your generations concerning the offerings of Yahweh made by fire." And just keep thinking about this. As we read, I just want you to think about what is keep ringing loud about these statutes. Watch the 22nd verse.
"And the priest of his sons that is anointed in his stead shall offer it. It is a statute forever to Yahweh. It shall be wholly burnt."
It shall be wholly burnt. Talking about the burnt offerings of Yahweh. "But the priest of his sons that is anointed in his stead shall offer it. And it shall be a statute forever unto Yahweh." Watch Leviticus, the 7th chapter, talking about these statutes. In the 34th verse.
"For the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and have given them unto Aaron the priest and unto his sons by a statute forever from amongst the children of Israel."
Yeah, by a statute from ever, forever is given to Aaron and his sons. And when we started reading about these various statutes, I noticed it was always something that belonged to the priest. And it was always forever. He said, "You shall neither eat the fat or the blood." In other words, that's what you put on the altar. And who do that? The priest. Watch the 36th verse.
"Which Yahweh commanded to be given them of the children of Israel."
Well, start at the 35th verse.
"This is the portion of the anointed of Aaron and of the anointed of his sons, of the offerings of Yahweh made by fire in the day when he presented them to minister unto Yahweh in the priest's office, which Yahweh commanded to be given them of the children of Israel in the day that he anointed them by a statue forever throughout their generations."
Throughout their generations. This is that statue forever. Still dealing with the priest. Watch the Leviticus, the 10th chapter. The 9th verse. Let's start at the 8th verse.
"And Yahweh spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine, nor strong drink, you, nor your sons with you. When you go to the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. It shall be a statue forever throughout your generation.
It should be a statue forever for who? Aaron and his sons when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation. It shall be a statue forever throughout your generation. Look at the 15th verse.
The heave shoulder and the wave breast shall they bring with the offerings made by fire of the fat, to wave before a wave offering before Yahweh. It shall be thine and thy sons with you by a statue forever, as Yahweh have commanded.
Yahweh don't even have no statues that's not forever. They always forever. But they always forever for a particular people, a particular person. Watch what it says in Leviticus, the 16th chapter. Which will bring it home to you. Because now this is going to include you. All the other ones include you as well. They include you in relationship with the priest. Watch this. The 29th verse of Leviticus, the 16th chapter.
It reads, and this shall be a statue forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall afflict your soul.
You need to afflict yourself.
And do no work at all.
And don't do no work.
Whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourns amongst you.
And how long you do that? And how long is that statue? Forever. Go ahead.
For on that day,
shall
the priest make an atonement for you,
mm-hmm,
to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before Yahweh. It shall be a Shabbat of rest unto you, and you shall afflict your souls by a statue forever.
By a statue forever. The priest got their role, got their part, but you also have yours. By a statue for how long? Forever. And watch the 34th for the verse of the same chapter.
And this shall be an everlasting statue unto you.
An everlasting statue unto you.
To make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. As he did as Yahweh commanded Moses.
And he did as Yahweh commanded Moses. Because these are the statues of Yahweh. And we just got a few more. Look at Leviticus, the 17th chapter. The 7th verse.
And they shall no more offer their sacrifices of devils.
Like they do on Easter. Like they do on Sundays. Like they do on the sixth day in the mosque.
After whom they have gone a-whoring. This shall be a statue forever unto them throughout their generations.
Throughout their generations. Watch Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. Still dealing with the statues. Because I'm telling you, when you study the book of Leviticus, you're going to study the laws and the very statues of Yahweh. In the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, starting at the 14th verse.
And you shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto Elohim.
You see all these various offerings you got to bring, and you got to bring it by a statue, for how long? Forever. No wonder the priests are so important. Go ahead.
It shall be a statue forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings.
Yeah, and this is talking about the Feast of Weeks. What about the 21st verse?
And you shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation unto you. You shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statue forever in all your dwellings. Throughout your generations.
Throughout your generations, because our people made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. But in all our dwellings, we did no work. In all our dwellings, we couldn't eat no manner of bread until we brought that offering unto Yahweh. And we just read about this. In the 31st verse, watch what it says.
You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statue forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings.
Continue reading.
It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at even. From even unto even shall you celebrate your Sabbath.
And I know people want you to believe that the ninth, all you got to do is keep a Sabbath, but you don't have to fast. And that don't make no kind of sense at all, because it's a Sabbath, and we didn't have two different types of Sabbaths. On the Day of Atonement, you started your Sabbath at evening, the ninth at evening, but that's also when you started your fast. By how long do you do it? By a statute forever. And this is what Yahweh wants you to know. The 41st verse.
And you shall keep it a feast unto Yahweh 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month.
Talking about what day? The Feast of Tabernacles. Go ahead.
You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of Yahweh.
And this is why this is a statue forever. Because the first thing we began to read about are the holy offerings of Yahweh. Now in the book of Leviticus, we're talking about the holy convocation, the holy feast of Yahweh, which is also sacrifices and offerings that had to be made on those days. And the last statute in Leviticus is Leviticus 24. The third verse.
Reads, without the veil of the testimony, in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall Aaron order it from the evening to the morning, before Yahweh continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations.
It shall be a statute forever. Every time you read about this statue, it's for how long? Forever. And watch the ninth verse.
And it shall be Aaron's and his sons. And they shall eat it in the holy place, for it is most holy unto him of the offerings of Yah, made by fire, by a perpetual statute.
By a perpetual statute. Now do you understand the statutes of Yahweh? Now do you see the various laws of Yahweh? This is how you study the book of Leviticus. We are all the way at the 24th chapter. A Leviticus is only 27 chapters. And I'll show you what the last chapters talk about. So until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you, and so do I. Shalom.
Bless Yahweh, oh my soul. Bless Yahweh, oh my soul.
Praise to your holy name.
Bless Yahweh, oh my soul. Bless Yahweh, oh my soul. Bless Yahweh, oh my soul. Singing praises to your holy name. Bless Yahweh, oh my soul. Bless Yahweh, oh my soul. Bless Yahweh, oh my soul. Singing praises.
hallelujah, holy name.
Bless y'all, all you witnesses, do not forget his benefits. Forgive the iniquity to the diseases in my ligaments. The Redeemer and Creator, me from dust, he know I make up merciful and slow to anger. Gracious, only one can save us. Y'all, who satisfies my mouth with good things. Bless y'all, who renews me like the eagle's wings. Bless y'all, who made his ways known unto Moses and his acts to the children of Israel who he chosen. Bless y'all.
Bless y'all, oh my soul. Bless y'all, all his angels. Bless y'all, all his holies. Bless y'all, all his words.
Bless Yahweh, oh my soul. Bless Yahweh, oh my soul. Bless Yahweh, oh my soul. Singing praises to your holy name. Bless Yahweh, oh my soul. Bless Yahweh, oh my soul. Bless Yahweh, oh my soul. Singing praises to your holy name.
I will bless Yah at all times. His praise shall continually be in my rhyme. Praise Yah, for unto us his glorious shine. Baruch Yah, Melech, Ba-Shema'im, Melo, Ba-Aresh. Praise Yah, for he execute righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He renew my health like the eagle's wings. Yah, fed my mouth with good things. So unto Yah, his glory I sing.